Well, I like that Glen Campbell song, and I got moving a little bit while it was going on. And my mother leaned over and poked me, because when I was a teenager, dancing was not allowed. And I couldn't help myself, but my brother, who was 10 years younger than I was, used to say, "Mom, Heather's moving her whole body." So my mother poked me because I was moving my whole body. And I didn't mean to start that way. "Mom, look what you've done," because this is how I started this talk. I never like to speak to ladies unless it includes laughter. I plan laughter into any talk I give, but today is going to be different. This Christmas has been hard on many of us, and I sense that even amongst our laughter, there are a lot of heavy hearts. And while laughter is a balm to our souls and a fine medicine, today, as I planned for today, I knew that somehow it called for something deeper and more substantive. Today, our focus indeed is on kindness and goodness, two of the beautiful fruits of the Spirit, kindness and goodness. I like to hold on to those words because they encapsulate so much of who God is and who He wants us to be. I want to hold on to not just the words, but I want to hold on to the one who brings goodness and kindness to life. The one who can infuse us with those often elusive fruit. I wish today that for those of you who are hurting, and that's probably all of us in one way or another, and to one degree or another, that you might leave today with a solid assurance that in the midst of the general darkness of our conflicted world, and more personally, in the specific darkness threatening your own heart and soul, that there is one who offers goodness and kindness in the eye of the storm, and one who calls us to live out goodness and kindness. You are loved. And I heard the other day, as long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. 2 short weeks ago, we were vividly reminded that the Jesus, who is the embodiment of kindness and goodness, has paid our planet a visit. And yet, the words of the carol we may have recently sung are haunting. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. 'There is no peace on earth,' I said, 'for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.'" Kindness and goodness may often seem elusive in our world, but I want to remind you that God oozes kindness and goodness in the midst of hate and hurt. And so the remainder of our time together is meant to encourage and remind us that we are gently loved, with the goal of motivating us towards the same. The Bible is a superb collection of stories that expose God's heart and character to people just like us. People with foibles and whose life stories read like our own. At the very last coffee hour, Ruth talked to us about David, who was wronged by Saul, and yet who chose to bestow kindness and goodness on Mephibosheth. I wanted to remind you of the many characters in the Old Testament who were like David. So I thought, and other than a few random acts of kindness like Ruth to Naomi and Boaz to Ruth and the king to Esther and maybe Miriam to little baby Moses, I was struggling to find a whole lot of strong examples Because the truth is, other than our long-suffering, good God, kindness and goodness were a little lacking in Old Testament times. But if David could show kindness after what Saul put him through, then I'm confident that we can do it too. And so you can ask yourself, who has wronged you? Does your daughter-in-law criticize you and withhold your grandchildren? Has your own husband broken the vows he made to you? Was there a wrong diagnosis by a doctor? Were you violated by someone you trusted? Was your reputation unjustly sullied by someone? Has your own body betrayed you with cancer or infertility? Have you recently lost a parent or a spouse or a child? These things of life cause almost unbearable hurt, and they do not always make us naturally praise God for his kindness and goodness. As a matter of fact, the awful things that happen to people are some of the most compelling arguments against belief in a good or a kind God. And I'd love to address that later on. But for other people, we don't have time to go there today, but for other people, loss leads us to lean into God all the harder. And you know, hurts don't exactly make it easy for us to respond kindly. And so given the way that life goes, it seems that unfortunately David's response was a bit of an exception. I'm here to tell you today, be the exception. Most of those people in the Old Testament struggled with offering goodness and kindness when betrayal and hate and sin and sickness knocked on their door. Often, God's people repaid hardship with hate and bitterness of their own. And yet, God worked with them, coaxing, reminding, sometimes threatening, modeling, promising, and asking for their faith and right responses in return. We have the benefit of reading the history of the Jewish people and seeing how God has offered his kindness and goodness over and over again, usually to people who don't appreciate it. History has showed us the folly of living in ways that do not honor the character of God. And then we arrive in the New Testament, where people had the benefit of living right alongside of Jesus and watching the way he offered kindness and goodness. Think woman at the well, judged, gossiped about, pariah. Think Peter, who denied Jesus, ashamed, regretful, reduced. Think Paul, who persecuted and murdered the very people Jesus loved, the tormentor, now tormented. Lonely Paul, ridiculed Paul. Think blind beggars and hardened prostitutes. Think oozing lepers and smelly fishermen. Think bratty, exhausting children who were the recipients of his kindness. Jesus walked among people and showed us clearly what kindness and goodness looked like in real life situations, and extended to real life people. And then came the most startling example of all. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, the kind and patient and good. Jesus, the healer and forgiver. And we read in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I recently had to talk to somebody who's just been despised and rejected. And I reminded them that Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet somehow his response to us has been loving kindness. But he didn't even stop there. He sent believers his Holy Spirit. God's own Spirit is indwelling our bodies. What a resource to tap into in 2020. He will enable us. We aren't even left on our own to be kind and good. God calls us in his word in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. What a calling. As you start this new year, who is God calling you to extend kindness and goodness to? Who do you need to forgive? We need to meditate on the character of God and seek out ways to be like him. Who has God placed on your radar? Who needs your kindness? My dad died less than a month ago, and our family has been treated to some mighty fine kindness. God has encouraged my little mama's broken heart by giving her the right verse at the right time. But you know what else? God's people have stepped up. Somebody paid for all the food for my dad's funeral, and they won't identify themselves so that we can even thank them. Sometimes people do big things, and other times the gesture is smaller. I went to an exercise class recently, and I've hurt my shoulder quite badly, and the instructor saw that I was in pain. And did she just sit on her mat? Nope, she noticed. And she just got up quietly and slipped a support under my aching shoulder, and I turned my head away, and I cried. Kindness is a beautiful gift we give others because it springs from the heart of God, who gives us kind gifts that we frequently don't even recognize as being from him. God's word reminds us that it is God who gives us sleep and flowers and butterflies and babies and broccoli and friends and paintings and music and laughter and raccoons. James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift comes from him, the Father of lights. Imagine how our lives and our attitudes would change if we started noticing how he has really blessed us, even in our dark nights of the soul. What if we were intentional and disciplined, and we looked and we thanked him every time we noticed? He gives us himself, and he calls us to pour out ourselves to him in thanksgiving and in kind service to others.